So the first thing I want to ask you about is the increase this year in criminal homicides. This year's not over yet, but that number is already more than last year's total. On the other hand, we have some reports that claim other instances of violent crime seem to be trending downward. What exactly is going on there?
One of the things that we're really concerned about is the amount of people that are coming out of prison with former gun charges in relationship to violent crimes. So when you look at our homicides this year and last year, you're going to quickly realize that most of the individuals that were victims in homicides and those that were suspects have criminal past. This year, we've had 92% of all of our criminal homicide suspects have a criminal past. 83% of our homicide victims have a criminal past. What we are seeing is far too often, too many individuals commit a violent crime with a weapon to be arrested by the police department, many times over and over again, only to be a perpetrator in a homicide down the road. We believe if we had mandatory minimum sentencing, that our homicide rate would drop by at least 20 to 25% overnight.
And that's something that's sort of in the hands of the state legislature, right?
It is, and we'll be going to the state legislature once again to ask for that. That is something that's been very disappointing for our police officers, where they continue to arrest the same individuals only to see someone commit a homicide. We need to do a better job of that, as we're using data to track individuals that are reentering society after prison, those that have the propensity to commit violence. We need some help on the state side as well.
Riggs says another thing many find surprising about Indy's homicide rate is the number stemming from simple arguments that end with someone dead. Riggs says that a lack of ability to de-escalate conflict is one example of many of the more structural and systemic problems in some of Indy's neighborhoods that give rise to crime, its root causes. In October, Riggs and Mayor Greg Ballard announced what the department is calling a philosophical shift in how government operates when it comes to addressing public safety concerns. With the help of quality of life data gathered from DPS agencies and several area nonprofits, the Department of Public Safety analyzed a variety of socioeconomic factors, singling out six neighborhoods that need the most attention.
We said, let's look at this data, let's compare this data over the last couple of years, and let's see where our main issues are in our community. So we did that, and we came up with six areas. These six areas that are throughout the community are only 8 square miles total. That's 4.7% of the entire population of the city of Indianapolis. That 4.7% of our neighbors and friends live in areas where 27% of the homicides and 30% of the shootings take place. Additionally, in those areas, because we're looking at all data to have a holistic approach, we know that 14.5% of all of our mental emotional runs occur within 8 square miles, where only 4.7% of the population lives. Vacant housing runs from 25 to 37%. Then you start looking at the poverty rates, the issues facing juveniles, the issues facing single moms, and you realize that in most of these areas, over 80% of the population lacks the basic skills to get a good middle-class income job. We're focusing there at the root causes of crime. We believe that the police department can do some things to affect crime in the short term, but if we're going to have long-term success as a city of Indianapolis, we need to be working together collectively on these issues.
With some of these issues running so deep in some of these communities, how do you measure success and how much time has to pass before you start taking those measurements?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to set some short-term goals. We have to say, what are some of the big issues that we're hearing from the community during our community conversations? Some of those have to deal with young people, lack of summer jobs, lack of opportunities. So we need to deal with those in the short term. So we have helped raise money for summer jobs program. I think last year we raised over $32,000 for summer jobs. We've had safe havens for young people to go to, and we were able to get potential funders with the providers to make sure that kids had a safe place to go. Those are things we can do in the short term. Last year when we did the summer jobs program in that area, we did not have any street robberies or any other crimes that are usually associated with juveniles. The long-term goals that we're going to have to set are going to deal with mental illness. How are we going to tackle that as a community? Do we need to arrest everybody for minor type crimes? Can we take them to an engagement center where they're getting help for dependency issues or their mental illness and working with the sheriff's office and the prosecutor's office on trying to make that a reality? Those are some long-term goals. But what we need to do is we need to grow this new philosophy in a deliberate way, a very thoughtful way, so we don't get overwhelmed by the issues. And that's one of the things that I hear from community members. These issues seem to be so entrenched. Where do we begin? And my answer to that is simply, let's begin in those six areas. If we begin there and we're successful, we're going to start seeing drops in crime rates and drops in homicides over the next 2, 5, and 10 years.